Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. But when Linda in Richland Park called yesterday and said, aren't you going to talk about Sly Stone? Absolutely, but not during Monday Night Trivia. So I figured we'd do some stuff now. And of course, you're hearing all the obits and that kind of stuff. So, you know, I tend to stay away from that stuff. Sly was originally from Denton, Texas, north of Dallas. And his family moved to Vallejo, California, when he was a child, actually. And Vallejo is in the North Bay of the San Francisco area. And at the time they moved there, it would be beyond an exurb, but nonetheless, certainly they were influenced by San Francisco, no doubt about that. He was Sylvester, that was his name, of course, Sylvester Stewart, was identified as a musical prodigy early on. And originally, of course, gospel, as you'd expect. But the interesting thing was while he was in high school, he wound up forming or joining, I should say, because I believe that the band had formed before that, but the Viscounts. And this was a great little group, actually. They were all in high school, and it was interesting because it was two white girls, a Filipino guy, and Sly Stewart, as far as I know. That was the deal. And they wound up having a chart record, and not nationally by any means. I should mention first they were the Webs, and Stewart had been in that group, and then the Webs merged with the Viscounts and at Vallejo, and so that was the deal. There was another group that was known as the Viscounts, obviously, that you know, the one Harlem Nocturne, and so with that in mind, they changed their name to the Viscanes. Sort of like the Chevrolet Biscayne, only with a V. Yes, the Viscanes, and why a V instead of a B? Well, they're from Vallejo, so of course that would be the Viscanes. And they put out a little record on the Tropo label, and the A side was Stop What You're Doing, and the B side was I'll Guess I'll Be. And actually, I guess I'll play a little bit of that. And by the way, the A side was the Viscanes and the Ramblers. The B side was the Viscanes and the Continentals. I'm sure there's a difference there, but you'd have to ask someone at Arteen Records because Lord knows I don't know. But the A side was actually a local hit.
You'd better stop what you're doing. Over you, won't you think it over one more time?
record. Actually, the second thing they put out was Yellow Moon and Heavenly Angels, and that was a pretty big hit locally, again. Big enough that Tom Donahue took notice, and I'll get to that. But if you're not familiar with Yellow Moon, and I think it was a Tommy Mottola record. I think he and his wife wrote it. But it, like I say, if you were in the Bay Area around 1961, well, you remember Yellow Moon. Yellow Moon. Thought if that was decent production, better studio, that could have done something, no doubt about it. But it did enough that Tom Donahue was interested. And Tom Donahue, as you might remember, was a disc jockey on KYA. Now, before that, he'd been on Wibbage in Philadelphia, and he was one of the guys who kind of got stung in the Paola hearings, and he wasn't fined or anything like that, but he couldn't find work. And he was out of work for a while. He gets a job in San Francisco at KYA, and along with Bobby Mitchell. And the two of them, while they're there, start doing concerts on the side, which became huge. They were all R&B, and mostly at the Cow Palace. But what Donahue, of course, he was very familiar with R&B from Philadelphia, and along with Bobby Mitchell. And they were just hardcore, you know, soul music, no doubt about it. And in fact, on KYA, that was the time when they were owned with Wake in Atlanta and Bartell Broadcasting. And the general manager from Wake went to KYA, and she brought a guy along with her, Bill Drake. Bill Drake was an easy student, to say the least. He was a Southern Georgia boy and spent a lot of time in Atlanta as well. He knew soul music, and what he saw that Donahue and Mitchell were doing, he got it. And by the way, that influenced him for a lot of his playlists over the years. You know, everybody talks about Boss Radio KHJ, but they didn't realize how black that playlist was. In any event, he paid attention. And then Tom Donahue and Bobby Mitchell decide they're forming a record label, Autumn Records. And around that time, they hear Sly Sylvester Stewart, who is not yet on the radio. You know, he's just getting out of high school with the Viscount. Say, there's something there. Hires him as an in-house producer and songwriter. And so that was the deal. Now, at this time, it's getting really heady because the music's on the radio and the Viscaynes are doing great. Well, except that they graduated from high school and broke up. So by the time anybody knew who they weren't, is how it went as far as that goes. But it was interesting because with the connection to Donahue and also, you know, some ins in the record business, when the compilation album started coming out in the early 60s, sure enough, Yellow Moon and others are on Jumpin' with Pop Hits of Tomorrow. That was Sutton Records. And they spelled the name Viscaynes wrong, of course. But it didn't matter, because by then, what had been the Viscaynes for a moment there were the Vitones. I got very interested in this because I thought, oh my God, I found the people who did Blue Moon, not the same people. But nonetheless, they were the Biscaynes on the Surf's Up compilation and all that kind of stuff. But by this time, Sly is writing and producing, and in fact, turns out to produce a hit, which was Bobby Freeman's Come On and Swim. But meanwhile, he's working as a jock on KSOL, the big 1450 AM. And I have a little bit of an air check from, it was sort of the end of his career there, because he started there in the fall of 64 and worked really, I think, through about the summer of 67. And then he went to KDIA for about a year and a half at most. And then, of course, became famous. And that was the end of that. But when he was on KSOL, his show was sponsored. And I love that. Yeah, by a record shop that sell them for 59 cents. But when you hear this, I'm thinking, I could get the Fascinations, Girls Are Out to Get You for 59 cents? Yeah, I got all excited. But so it's a little bit bifurcated, but you'll recognize who's sly and who's not in March of 1967.
Good slack!
This portion of the Soul Sounds of KSOL Radio is being brought to you by the House of Music Record Shop at 8417 East 14th Street in Oakland, where they are having the 59 cent sales. All the records you are now hearing are on sale for just 59 cents. Just listen to the top tunes you can get for just 59 cents at the House of Music.
All right, looky here. 59 cent sale records. Listen closely. Just Be Sincere, Jackie Wilson, Girls Ride to Get You, The Fascinations, The Girl Don't Care, Gene Chandler, Jimmy Mack, Martin and the Vandellas, Dry Your Eyes, Brendan the Tabulations, Do the Thang, Lou Courtney, Greatest Love, ZZ Hill. 59 cent sale records, and I'm not jiving about
that. Don't forget to stop by today for all of the sale happenings today so you can keep up with the latest soul sounds at the House of Music at 8417 East 14th Street in Oakland, the largest and best stock record shop in Oakland.
That's better, that's better. Smokey, wait your turn, man.
Portion of the Soul Sound, the House of Music.
Do the Thing, Lou Courtney, Greatest Love, ZZ Hill. Yeah, Whole World of the Stage, the Fantastic Four, Get to Steppin', Little Ronnie. The Happening, the Supremes, Pucker Up Buttercup, Junior Walker, Found a Love, Wilson Pickett, Something Inside Me, Ray Charles. All these are 59 cent sale records.
Stop by today for all of the sale happenings today so you can keep up with the latest soul sounds at the House of Music at 8417 East 14th Street in Oakland, the largest and best stock record shop in Oakland.
KSOL Talk Radio.
Yeah, well, look at it one time, baby. Look at it. Dig it for what it is, because it's the thing, Lou Courtney. Walking funny lately, feeling bad, all tight and drawn up in the stomach. It's because of, well, listen closely.
Are you, like millions of Americans, a victim of hemorrhoids?
I don't have to let you hear anymore. There you have it. Yeah, bits and pieces of Sly. And that was toward the end of his KSOL career. And then, like I say, he was on DIA briefly. And then, of course, Sly and the Family Stone hit. But when he was working for Autumn, he actually produced Gray Slick before Jefferson Airplane, the original Somebody to Love. And like I say, did Bobby Freeman. And Come On and Swim was a hit. It was another Bobby Freeman record. I forget which one it was, but it was done in the newsroom at KYA, and actually the drums were a box of AP copy paper turned upside down, but I don't remember which one it was. But at the time, we all kind of laughed about that. But obviously, from that, Sly Stewart went on to a heck of a career that I probably don't have to explain. In fact, he was just fresh off the radio when their first hit single, Dance to the Music, came out, and the album in 1968. And on it went with literally for a while there, one of the hottest names in top 40 radio, and of course soul as well. But whether it was Everyday People or Hot Fun in the Summertime or Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself Again, Everybody is a Star, and all that kind of stuff. He had it going on. And I think, and John would know better than I, but I think that Sly and the Family Stone appeared at Woodstock. But then again, who didn't, right? And so it was big. And of course, that gave him a lot of power, allowed him to form a production company, and also got a major label interested, which Epic, clearly. And there were a number of things that went on there. And success... Well, like I say, it was very big for a little bit there, but the band encountered a lot of problems. There were relationships that were deteriorating. There was friction between the band members. Epic was on them, saying, we want more marketable records. Meanwhile, the Black Panther Party was demanding they make more militant records. I'm not making this up. And they moved to Los Angeles in 1969, and that was not good for Sly, because or any of the band members, because I assume at the point it was all of them, were heavily into drugs and increasingly focused on that. Sly was known for carrying a violin case and was filled with illegal drugs, not a violin. And right, and this was a big deal. But unfortunately, between the summer of 69 and the fall of 71, so we're talking 2 years, thank you for letting me be myself again. By the way, that's the way it's written, as you know, on the 45. For letting me is one word, then be mice elf again. Maybe the drugs explain that. I don't know. But it was in some ways the precursor to funk music. And the bass player was, of course, Larry Graham, who was pretty innovative on that, to say the least. And so, from there, it continued to say the least. But because of the drug use, one of the problems was live booking started to drop. And let's face it, record sales are good, but most of the time you're making your money on the road. And the bookers were afraid of them, afraid that either they wouldn't show up because of their drug use, or that, worse yet, they'd be arrested because of their drug use. And so this was not a good time. Mid-70s, they booked themselves into Radio City Music Hall. And unfortunately, what should have been a showcase was probably maybe one-eighth occupied. So you can see where that's going. And Sly went on to record four more albums as a solo. High on You was released under his name. And there were others. But you're really talking about nothing major in any of this. He collaborated with Funkadelic, which was neat for a moment there. And John saying, you better shut up now. All right, so we'll leave him with Funkadelic there and get to 1983 when things really weren't good. All right, we'll talk about Sly Stone, and we'll take your calls on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Riley James. Autumn Records, the label just says Sly, and, oh my God, all right, I'll get there. John comes in to tell me stuff that I need to know about here in a moment, but in any event, Temptation Walk, Sly, Autumn Records, I saw that, and it came out in 65, and I saw it in a cutout bin a few years later, and I thought, wow, is that where the Entertainers 4 got it? Yeah, right, Temptation Walk. Yeah, well, it turned out a completely different song, obviously, but that was early Sly when he was working with Tom Donahue at Autumn. So the rest of the story, you know, he was arrested in 1983, sadly, drugs. He was on parole for 3 years, but I think something happened where that was somehow recalled. Before that, when times were good, he spent some time with Terry Melcher, and we've talked about Terry a lot. He was he was Doris Day's son. But it was Terry's house that Manson thought that he was sending the girls to. But Terry had moved at that point. But when he was living there, Sly was a visitor often. In fact, he saw Charles Manson there, didn't know who he was, saw Charles Manson have a fight with Terry Milcher. But the other thing was that he met Doris Day, and he was telling her how much he liked Que Sera Sera. And they sat there at the piano and played it together. And then there was this rumor that Sly Stone was dating Doris Day, which was absolutely not true. He might have been the only person who wasn't, but he wasn't. So, but we laughed about that for a while anyway. But as I say, later, it wasn't good. And you know, you can read all about that as far as that goes. There was a lawsuit there for a moment where it looked really good about 10 years ago, where he had sued his former manager, Jerry Goldstein, and won $5 million, except most of that, if not all, was overturned on appeal. So I don't know what, if anything, he got. He was living in Granada Hills, which is in the San Fernando Valley, a suburb of Los Angeles, and died from COVID, a chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And so rest in peace, Sly Stone. It was certainly quite the ride. Did he have kids? Yes, he did, actually, a few of them. And he got married for about a year, and that produced a son. And they divorced, like I said, it was within a year, because their son was mauled by his dog or something like that. And anyway, she went running. She said, you know, I don't want any more of the world of drugs and weirdness. And it was really a bittersweet thing. He'd write songs and promise that he'd change, and they'd try it again. And so eventually that woman left. And then he had a son. Also from a different woman, and a daughter. And I think that was also that was Cynthia Robinson, who was in his band. And then there was a second daughter. I don't know genesis of her. But so yeah, he had kids, absolutely. But the second daughter, you can hear her. She's a co-host on Morning Becomes Eclectic on KCRW, public radio station. All right, so rest in peace, Sly Stone. Now, before I do anything else, John came in and said, look at this. Oh, my. Fran in Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio. What is going on?
I had a heart attack. I am in the hospital.
Oh, my good God. How did that, well, you know, you probably don't know how that happened, but what were the symptoms?
Well, you know about the, I told you about the constipation and,
yes,
you know, the lightheadedness and,
yes,
all that. Well, the weird thing was today I was getting ready to go. I finally got, you know, saw somebody that was going to send me for some imaging.
Good.
To see if I had a blocked bowel or, you
right,
know, what was going on. And I was getting ready to go, and I was feeling pretty okay, a little bit, you know, not good, but not well enough, or not unwell enough to say, no, I'm not going. Not after working that hard to get the appointment.
Right.
So, anyway, I got off toilet, and the next thing I know, I was on the floor.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't get up because I can't kneel on my knees. I've got bad knees anyway.
Yeah.
And Gary tried to pull me up, and he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And then, so, you know, he's going, I'm calling 911. I can't, you know, you can't. No, I've got to go to this appointment.
No.
Get up in a minute. I got to go. Yeah. Yeah, I'll get up. I'll get myself up some kind of way. I was pulling myself up by the counter. Anyway, and Gary called anyway, which turned out to be a good thing because I was starting to have pains in my chest.
Yeah.
And I'd had them before with this other problem, but mild, and my heartbeat was irregular, and I told them that. You know, when I went to the various doctors about this.
Right, the ones who ignored you,
Yeah, the ones who told me, well, just eat soft food and take Marilac.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so eat soft food and drink Vaseline.
Right, no. Right.
But, you know, I was taking the Marilac because I was desperate. You know, like, I
understood.
Get rid of this. I've had it for 2 months. I'm tired of it.
Understood.
And I was getting, you know, pains down my legs. And,
of course.
You know, all this. I could barely walk. And so, anyway, they put something, they had to open some vein, and they put some kind of something called a balloon something. I don't know. a lot of the things that they told me. Hopefully Gary remembers, because I don't, because I was just so scared. And then, of course, the panic on top of that, you know, just the, because I have, well, you know, panic disorder.
Oh,
and that on top of the...
Who would, absolutely. Now, let me ask you, the pain in your legs, has that turned out to be something like peripheral artery disease? I mean, they're looking at this, I hope.
I don't know. They x-rayed, they x-rayed my head because I fell.
Okay.
They x-rayed, you know, my head and my, you know, back. And, you know, so,
yeah.
And a doctor came in and talked to me about, you know, what's going on with, you know, with my blood pressure and my heart and that sort of thing. And I guess they're going to take, you know, see how things are tomorrow and take that device out. If, and then my blood sugar's been wacky.
Well, sure it is.
On top of that, and of course, I hadn't taken my medication when I got here because I get up, you know, I usually get up late. I was up early this morning because I had that appointment.
Exactly.
But, you know, I usually, because usually I take, try to take them around the same time every day. So I take them about 2 o'clock in the afternoon because I usually get up, you know, somewhere between, you know, noon and 2 or 4 or something, you know.
Yeah.
So, of course, I hadn't taken it yet. So,
So they did. They did the test. They've determined you had a heart attack, but have they haven't told you why at this point?
No.
Yeah. Well, that's what we want to know.
And I did tell them about the, you know, what's been going on.
Right.
And
well, the leg pain interests me because it's been so long. Normally, that's not an indication of a heart attack per se, but with peripheral artery disease, there's a hell of a connection there.
Well, and one of the things I'm also concerned about, and why I didn't think about it earlier today, I'm kicking my... I guess I figured they wouldn't listen, so I won't tell them, and I've got to quit that.
Yeah, you do.
Because, you know... I'm wondering how much the pain in my legs has to do with my toes.
Well, that's possible, too, if it's circulation.
And and I didn't think it was. In fact, well, one of the doctors, the doctor that came and talked to me about my heart, she said, well, you know, that might be why you're constipated, because you're not getting good circulation
It certainly could be a factor, so they did an angioplasty, is what they did today, I assume.
I think that is something, a balloon.
Yeah,
something?
A balloon angioplasty. Usually.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so
they put it on my upper right thigh.
Okay.
Because I'm not supposed to move my right leg.
Okay.
So, and So they got my right leg kind of in a brace, so I can't move it much, because I thought, you know, if I fall asleep, that leg's moving, because this is not the position I sleep in.
Right. Of course not. Of course not. Well, I guess the good news is that they're looking at everything. And usually when they do any type of an angioplasty, that's the balloon stuff, it's because vessels have narrowed and they're trying to open them up. And so...
Yeah, that's what she explained, yeah.
Okay, well, that makes sense, and that absolutely could cause you toe pain, for instance, because when you're dealing with circulation problems, you betcha, and that's something you want to stay on top of, especially with the diabetes. You don't want to add circulation to it, you know. So this is good news. As horrible it is that you're sitting in the hospital, finally people are looking at things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what, you know, Gary was trying to, he was telling me, because I was...
No, I'm very encouraged by this, because I wouldn't be surprised.
Saying, no, you're not calling 911. I'm going to do what I need to do.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah, until you couldn't. Oh, believe me, I'm right there with you on that. I'll be fine. Don't worry about me. Yeah, right. Next thing you know, being scooped up off the floor. Yeah, I get it. But
I'm sure you and John go through the same thing.
Oh, of course. And I'm constantly, no matter what it is, no, I'll just be fine. But this is good, because this is actually what you wanted. You wanted someone to take a look at what's going on and hopefully tie some things together.
Yeah, hopefully so. I'm still looking for a new primary. I kind of have one temporary, but she's going on maternity leave.
Of course.
So like, oh, God, thanks a lot. I like you. How do you know?
Right, right.
You can't have kids. I like you. You're supposed to be my doctor.
Maybe she'll have somebody filling in for her that'll be okay if she gets to pick them. But, the other thing is, you're conscious, you're alert, you don't have any lasting, brain issues going on here. So you got away easy as far as that goes, and you got away with them looking at things. So this is a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, I guess I could look at it
that way. Yeah. Get all the attention you need, and do not hold back on any symptom.
No, I'm not going to. I mean, now that I'm here and they seem to be listening.
Yeah, well, they are listening, I'm sure, because, you see, for the first time they've seen something. Up till now they thought, oh, little girl, it's all in her head. Now it's like, wait a minute. You know, they can't ignore heart attack. And so
Woman's been here three times. And the third time was,
exactly. But now this is good. So I know that it's depressing as hell and having to go through this. But trust me, from where I'm sitting, this is the best thing that ever happened to you.
Well, I'm still scared.
Of course.
You know, and I'm trying not to be.
Well, of course you are, but I think they're looking at things, and you want to know a lot more about what's going on, and ask them about peripheral artery disease, because that's what I bet they're looking at there. And the good news is, if they can really unveil what's going on, there will be treatment.
Yeah, because she told me when she was talking to me about what's going on with my heart.
Yeah.
I was telling her, and she said, well, let's get this blood pressure and this blood sugar down.
Right.
And then we'll see what we can do about the constipation.
Right. Well,
we'll look at, and I said, I don't, just taking Miralax isn't doing it. She said, no. She didn't seem to have a real high opinion, which is funny, because all the doctors think it's the best thing since sliced bread.
No, it's not. But, and the other thing is, it depends why you're constipated. It may not be something like you're eating the wrong foods or it's some kind of a blockage. It can be a problem with peristalsis. Now, do you know about peristalsis?
No.
Okay. That's a process. Sadly, I've been there and done that with all these things, because being the autoimmune queen, I know what it's like to suddenly have it stop. It's the muscle contractions. It moves like a wave, and that's what propels the food and the substances along the digestive tract. It's automatic. You have no conscious control of this. You are unaware of it, but it is essential for digestion. And so when peristalsis stops, and by the way, that occurs in various parts of the body, including the esophagus, the stomach, small intestines, large intestines. But the bottom line is, when it slows to a great degree, nothing's going anywhere. So it can be something like that. And so that can lead to all sorts of digestive problems.
Oh.
And then they can, to a degree, treat that. But first you need to know. And there are tests, actually, they can take to see what's going on with that. But that's how your digestive system functions. It's all about peristalsis, which is the movement.
Okay. And I don't know, because the other thing that happens is, like, a lot of times when I get real, my fingers joints hurt.
Well,
okay, what does that have to do with, but it seems to hurt more when I'm more constipated.
Well, yes, but remember about constipation. When you have that much waste building up, some of it can wind up back into your bloodstream and systemically affect you. It doesn't just stay there. Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, depending. I'm not surprised at all, and there's a direct connection. So,
you
yeah.
know, I thought there was. I thought if I say that, somebody's going to think I'm nuts, and they really
well,
won't listen to me.
Well, they'll think you're nuts if they don't know what they're doing. But if they know anything about any of that, they're going to relate to that. If they don't, they probably should have their certification taken away.
Okay. Well, this is St. David's Hospital. It's supposed to be one of the better ones here at Austin.
So. Good. Good. So, how do you have a private room? I hope.
Oh yeah, okay. Gary's here.
Good, good.
Yeah, I was worried they wouldn't let Gary stay, but they did.
Oh yeah, and I'm very big on private rooms. I just wouldn't stay anywhere that didn't have
them.
Yeah, good. And so, how long do they think? Have they given you any ETA?
Well, they're talking about letting me go tomorrow, but I don't know. You know,
it just depends on. Hang on a minute. I think that I am I'm screwing Adam up. Don't go away. Stay where you are.
Okay.
I need to do a few things, and he's got commercials, and then, of course, he has to meet news. So let me just shut up and speak about something important here. Yeah, the Sea Crane Company. Oh, by the way, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, Jessica Crotty, owner of the Sea Crane Company now, is going to join me for an hour. So if you've got any questions about radio, she's the person to ask. All right. Now, we talk a lot about Bob Crane and how every radio he's ever developed has just the best reception, and it does. So when I say the Wi-Fi radio has great reception, you're going, wait a minute, it's not a radio. And what I'm talking about, however, is the CC Wi-Fi 3 will connect to even the most lackluster wireless access point. So your wireless router, you know, the thing that's dropping connections when you're in another room or suddenly it's really slowing down or whatever, well, I'll tell you what, the CC Wi-Fi 3 doesn't. But if you have any problems with your wireless access point, your wireless router, there is a solution. And, you know, a lot of people have this when you're trying to listen to something maybe outside or backyard office, a few hundred feet from your home, you know, three rooms over. And, you know, most people, you know, give up. Well, the CC Vector will do what you need done. It will extend the range of whatever wireless access point or wireless router you have. You can beam a reliable Wi-Fi signal up to half a mile from your router. Now, as long as you have line of sight. It works with all your Wi-Fi devices. It gives you basic internet for browsing the web, making video calls, watching video, best of all, streaming audio from your favorite show. Setup is really simple. And of course, if you need help, the Sea Crane US-based customer support is ready to walk you through it. So if you've got any frustration from your wireless access point, your wireless router not connecting or devices not connecting to it, man, you probably need a Vector. So go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. And you look at the CC Vector Extended Long Range Wi-Fi system, and it is just terrific. Now, if you can't go online, I assume you don't want one if you can't go online, but as a gift for a friend or maybe for your future needs, you can call them. They'll walk you through it, and that's 800-522-8863. You can buy it by phone. You can get all your questions answered. Best of all, they can send you a hard copy of the catalog absolutely free. But if you can go online, go to ccradio.com right now. You look at that CC Vector Extended Long Range Wi-Fi system, and while you're at it, look at that CC Wi-Fi 3. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
I'll miss you so, please don't. that my love is to lie long. You so belong on God. Oh, baby, 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 come on, baby, this is the night to bring back
your love. I'm Raleigh James. That was Sergeant Pappy, who wanted to hear the Cool Gents, 1956 on VJ, and This is the Night. Yeah, what a fine, fine record. He also wants to hear the Spaniels. Here's Why I Love You So Much. I'll be happy to play. He had a third request, and as usual, I can't read my handwriting. So Sergeant Pappy's going to have to call me back. Yeah, right, right. Because I'm sure he didn't request Heidi Fleiss, but it almost looks like that. I don't know what he was trying to request, but it's my fault, and it looks like it's a Cerulean alphabet, actually. So we'll see. Now, is Fran still with us? I don't know. Are you still there, Fran? I'm not sure if Fran is here or not. Let's put her on hold and see what the deal is. Are you with us, Fran? No, I think Fran left us, which is understandable to say the least. They probably came in to take her temperature or something, or maybe just as she was nodding off, they need to get her vitals. You know how it is in the hospital. But that said, hopefully she will keep us posted. Full show tonight, of course. We're in the middle of it. And full show tomorrow night, too. Then Thursday night, we are delayed slightly because of hockey, the Stanley Cup Finals. All right, so Linda in Richland Park, welcome back to WGN Radio. We lost Linda. Oh, man. I tell you what. Sorry about that, Linda. All right. But thanks for calling anyway. All right. Let's see. Eduardo in Tampa. Did you hang in there? No. Oh, this is not good. Tell me, you know, because it's possible that everybody has just decided they're not hanging in there. It's also possible that once again, the phones have failed me. Could that possibly happen? I don't need that tonight. Truthfully, I don't. So let's see if Ruth and Gurney is there. You there, Ruth? No, of course not. Oh, just great. All right, let's see about, okay, now Eduardo's calling back. All right, we'll see if that matters. We'll hang up on this version of Eduardo, and we'll see what we can get here. Now, Eduardo, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, thank God.
Connected.
Yes, good.
Was that me? Is that my end, or was that your end?
I have no idea, but the fact that I'm hearing your voice, I'm a happy camper.
Yeah. Well, it's sad news about the lady with the heart attack in the hospital.
But like I think it's going to be very happy news because I think this is the first time they're going to take her seriously.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, on my end, I had a friend who used to work for GSA.
Uh-huh.
Who was pretty good friends with my brother, and he was pretty sad to tell me the news.
Oh.
So, yeah, oh. But...
Well, that's a shame. How old?
Yeah,
if
I was over there, I definitely would go to the service. Yeah. But
how old was he?
He was in his 80s.
Okay.
His name was Al Southern.
Okay,
so that
Al.
Was his name.
All right.
Yeah, lived on the South Side. Yeah.
Well, he is in a much
very
better
nice
place
guy.
Now, and I truly believe that. I don't think that's just platitudes or words. I really believe that it's a graduation of sorts when you get to make it to the other side. So I hope he's basking in the glory of it all.
Yeah. Well, it was quite an experience this weekend, working Friday and Sunday.
Yeah.
At the concert.
Yes, this was the heavy metal concert.
Yeah, it brought me back to my youthful years.
Well, I was going to ask, what was the median age at this particular venue?
Oh, this is all like people like in their 50s and up.
Right, and well, not too far up with it. Now, this was Metallica, was it?
Right.
Yeah, and so in their 50s, and everybody seemed to have a good time?
Yeah, nothing bad happened. I mean, I'm telling people on Friday, you know, please, because I was on the upper deck, you know, directing people to their seat, and, you know, please do not hang over that staircase that kind of like a balcony, because they were taking photos, so the... Hillsboro sheriffs were walking up and down, and they were pretty strict about nobody, you know, standing or hanging over the staircase.
Yeah, well, good.
Yeah, but there were no incidents, and I got to see the concert Friday. Very hot. The only thing I was missing was my earplugs. I had him on Sunday, but Sunday I didn't need him because I was doing ticket scanning, and I was in a tent in the shade. So, yeah, I mean, Sunday was a little bit better. I mean, and then at the end, we're obviously checking for people that are not walking out of the stadium with the alcohol. So, but all in all, it was a good experience. Got home like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Well, good.
It was, yeah.
Good.
I got to tell you that Monday I went to a fair, and this is NSU, Florida. And this is only until the end of the year. It's temporary.
Uh-huh.
So they're looking for people to play the patient. So this helps like anybody who's a student as far as being a nurse or maybe.
Okay, so they're looking for bodies.
Yeah, role playing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are they willing to pay you?
Yeah, I mean I signed up for it. It's okay. 25 an hour, so I mean.
Good. Now what are they allowed for 25 an hour? What are they allowed to do to you?
Well, you're going to get a script, and obviously you play a patient, you know, say I got chest pains and you know, kind of like you're almost like an actor.
That's fine. I just don't want them to, you know, to say, okay, well, we'll do an open heart procedure right now.
Yeah.
You know.
But, yeah, I mean, if I, once I get over there, I mean, it's in clear water.
Yeah, good.
But, yeah, I have more information on, like, the orientation, how that is and when I'm doing. But, yeah, it's till the end of the year, and it's only temporary, but it's NSU, Florida. And that's in Clearwater.
NSU. Now, that's interesting. What is NSU? I've missed a whole school.
I know. What is their name? It does.
You know, I mean, I thought, I'll bet you it's part of Nova. Oh, God. Yes, Nova.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're right.
No, well, I'll tell you what. 60-something years ago, they were experimental, and they signed me up for this in junior high, of all things, and it was an experimental school with no grades and all that stuff, and they were talking about how we're going to be something someday, and next thing you know, like 20 years later, they're a university. So I thought, well, I guess they became something someday. Yeah, Nova Southeastern University. It's off of Davy Boulevard in Fort Lauderdale.
Yep, that's it. So, wow, you know it.
Well, yeah, because like
Probably
I say, I was part of that experiment. You know, I kind of liked the idea of no grades, but ultimately it was a mess. So,
yeah, they turned up at the Holiday Inn West Shore on Monday at the job fair, and they were one of the tables. So,
yeah.
If anybody was interested.
Yeah, no, I guess they've probably been accredited as a university now for 50 years, so time flies, but, you know, 60, 70 years ago, they were trying to find their footing.
Yep.
How about that? I didn't realize they made it all the way to Clearwater. Well, I left them in Davie. Oh, well. So, but I remember they had a medical school there. They did have that, which I always wondered a little bit. I mean, just me, I would say, if you're going to be down there, go to the University of Miami. You know. But anyhow. And, you know, I never got the opportunity to volunteer as a patient. I'm not sure I would. But one of the things that I used to do down there was actually part of the Volk Tech schools. I was willing to be a body for massage therapy, where all these kids who were learning how to be masseuses. Because I thought they didn't pay me, but they also didn't charge me for the massages. So I'd go over on my lunch break a couple times a week and get a massage. It was pretty good. Yeah.
Okay. Well, at least you got that. I mean,
yes.
Some of them.
Yes, it's pretty good.
Some of them provide you lunch. Some, in your case, it was a massage. How
yes,
about
it
that?
Was absolutely a massage. Walked in, got my massage. I thought it was the best deal in town. Yeah. So, well, I can't wait to hear what they do when you're. I can't wait to hear about your script too. That'll be hilarious.
Yeah. It says here, provide written and oral feedback, computer use for communication, correspondence, and training. So that's.
All right.
Couple bullet points there.
Well, this will be fun.
Yeah. Hey, before I go, I was going to mention, because you were talking about Sly, Al Foster played for Miles Davis and Sonny Rollins. He was from How If He Died. He was a drummer.
I don't know.
Came on the Sunday CBS morning program, so they mentioned him.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will look for that. All right.
Yep.
All right, good. Well, keep me posted.
Raleigh.
I can't wait to hear about it. Your job search is hilarious. I enjoy every step of the way. All right, thanks.
Yeah. All right, I'll call back maybe tomorrow or Thursday.
Okay, good. I'll look forward to it. Thanks.
Thank you very
much. Appreciate it. Yeah. Script. All right. Well, very good. So that's excellent. Now, what do we have? Laura in Des Plaines knows Sergeant Pappy's request. All right. What is it, Laura?
Yeah, you know, just because I'm trying to learn all about this kind of music, sometimes I write down the songs that people request when they sound interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, this is The Night by the Cool Gems.
Right.
Here's Why I Love You So by the Spaniels.
Right, got that.
And I Know by the Hollywood Flames.
Oh, really? Okay, Hollywood Flames. All right. I probably have that. Well, that's probably where H&F, where I got Heidi Fleiss. Hollywood Flames. Okay. So
is it Flames?
Yes, it's Flames. They're Flames.
But, okay.
They are absolutely Flames. That record was on Swing Time in 1954. I know the song. I have the song. And Swing Time was Jack Lauderdale's label. But anyhow, yes, good. Well, then I'll write this down. I'll cross off Heidi Fleiss and go for Hollywood Flames. Oh, God. All right. It really does look like that. But, okay, very good. Excellent. Thank you.
My best to... No, I forgot her name. Oh,
Fran.
My God.
Fran.
Hello.
Yes. All right. Well, we'll all be lighting candles for Fran tonight. But like I say, something tells me this is the best thing that ever happened to her.
In a weird way, it is.
Yeah. All right. Okay, thanks for that. I really appreciate it.
Sure, bye.
Thanks. All right, he'll hear it tonight then. All right, the Hollywood Flames. Well, I got the H and F anyway. All right, so let's see. Cindy called back and she's got a request. I can't wait to hear this. What is it, Cindy?
Okay, I guess you didn't like my last song, but that's okay.
I don't remember what it was. You know, I'm behind on this.
It was Here Comes the Rain. I like that song, but anyhow. I watch, you know, reruns of Miss Fisher. It's a murder mystery. It's from the Roaring Twenties, and it's set in Australia.
Uh-huh.
But then anyhow, at the end of when they show the credits, they always play like a jazz song from the Roaring Twenties. And I don't know the name of the song, but I want to hear the whole song if you could find it. The words were, I have a lot of little things to do building a nest for Mary.
I've blown the break again. Hang on. Now, what'd you say it was? I'll look for it during the news. What is it?
I have a lot of little things to do building a nest for Mary.
Got a lot of little things to do. Gotta make a little dream come true. Morning, night, and noon I'm doing my best, building a nest for Mary. Planning on a little bungalow where a lot of little roses grow. Morning, night, and noon I'm doing my best, building a nest for Mary. Someday we'll rock away our cares in our rocking chairs, wind the clock and then tiptoe upstairs, laying out a little nursery for a blossom on a family tree. Morning, night, and noon I'm doing my best, building a nest for Mary.
I'm Raleigh James. Well, that was the first one. A lot of people put it out in 1929. Back then it was mostly sheet music and stuff. But Building a Nest for Mary, the Captivators, who actually was a band leader, Red Nichols, and that was a Scrappy Lambert on vocals. So there you have it. Don't say I didn't play anything for you.
Are you there?
Yeah, did you hear it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyhow, I'm totally fascinated with the 1920s.
Well, somebody
you
has
know,
to
people
be.
Well, I guess it just seemed like people seemed like they were smarter and had more common sense.
Don't kid yourself. But anyway,
really?
it was released on March 20th of 1929 when everybody thought the stock market could never fail.
Oh, well, I just have to tell you, my Aunt Gertrude and my Uncle Charles Krauss were married during that time. You know, I guess my aunt made shoes at Florsheim Shoes and made $28 a week and did it for like 28 years or so. And my uncle made $6 a week make as a cab driver. And then I have their beautiful, my Aunt Gertrude was absolutely beautiful. And I have their wedding picture. They were married in court. Because, you know, there was no money. But then, anyhow, I have the beautiful wedding picture in a Waterford crystal picture frame. And what happened was, Greta jumped, my cat, jumped on the chest dresser and knocked it off. And I thought she got killed. Because that picture frame always
By the
like
way, who would care about the cat? I'd worry about the picture frame.
I know. It's a $300 picture frame.
Right, you can always get another cat.
I know, right. But she's
no, are you kidding? You're kidding? If she had broken that would have been the end of the cat. Since it's heavy, it could be used as an implement of destruction. Hers. All right. Very good.
Okay.
We'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Goodbye. All right, yeah, geez, I tell you what. All right, I'm not suggesting animal cruelty. Yes, that happens. Just put it up for adoption. All right, Fran called back. Oh, good. All right, so I didn't know if you went because they came in to prod you or something.
Yeah, they did. Made a lot of beeping sounds that would have probably driven you crazy because of driving me crazy.
You sound like you're underwater. So I don't know if it's the way you're holding the phone or what.
Wait, let me see. I'm in a weird position. Is it better?
A little better. Now it's just very low, but a little better.
Oh shoot!
Technology, ain't it wonderful?
Well, I don't have a lot to say. I've already pretty much said it, but I just have a couple of requests.
Okay, what do you want to hear?
I don't know if you already played Everybody as a Star, because I know you're playing some Lifestone stuff tonight.
I'll be happy to. I didn't play the hits. Okay.
Oh, okay, but...
But I can do that. Everybody is a Star.
I don't like to play the hits.
That's all right. I'll do that. What else?
I really like. And then... Do you remember a song that, I don't know if you probably have it, but Dr. Demento played it called The Hospitality Blues?
Oh, yes, The Hospitality Blues. I think I can find that.
And then I want You're My World dedicated to Gary.
Okay, what song? Because your phone is really attacking you at the moment.
Okay, You're My World.
Oh, Cilla Black.
Yeah.
Okay, you got it.
And it's for Gary.
All right, absolutely it is. All right. Thanks. Appreciate
it. I'll get off this driving phone.
All right, feel better. I know the minute you fall asleep, they'll be back in, but other than that, feel better. Now, I want you to call me tomorrow night. I want an update.
Okay, I will.
Okay, thanks. All right. Between now and then, Fran will fix her phone. I just know it. So, yeah, right. She's in the hospital and the phone is dying. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. And let's see, I believe that Tubby is in Chicago. So, hello, Tubby.
Hey, Raleigh, how are you?
All right, how about yourself?
I'm hanging in there. How's John?
Yeah, same old stuff, day by day.
I know. I turned that stupid radio down, but it's way over there, and it sounds like S.A. You know the rest.
Look,
okay, I got a song. You know I can't now. Never know the names of those songs. Remember Laura Nero?
Of course.
Yeah, I kind of like that stuff. You remember that was like the 70s, I was telling you. during, you know, when Lord Nero, Bertha Frye, all of them had those little hits. And she was one of them that had a nice album or two that was out.
Yes, she had several.
And if you know anything, pick me one of those. We haven't heard anything from her for a while.
Yeah. Well, and, one of my favorite albums was Eli and the 13th Confession because it had Sweet Blindness and Lucky and Lou and Stone
yes,
Soul Picnic.
And
yeah, right, exactly. And yeah. Emmy and Timer and, Stone Soul Picnic. So probably something from that.
I knew I could depend on you.
Yeah.
Okay. And, moving forward.
Yes.
Whatever happened to that man and his granddaughter? Wasn't it the 29th they had to go to court about her?
I'm glad you brought that up because Sam, we're talking about Sam, and we didn't hear about the court case, but I believe it was being delayed until June. They ruled, and I forgot the date in June, but he promised that he'd call us afterwards, but apparently they know exactly where the child is, and they wouldn't release the child to the mother. They said it has to have a court hearing.
Right, who had proper custody. She had her papers.
And they wouldn't look at it. And apparently, the ex-husband, the biological father, he does not have the child. He gave it to a third party.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
I remember that.
Right. Well, that's Sam.
And I had a nun praying for.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sam and his granddaughter, Emery.
Right, but I was out that week. I was busy, and so I'm. In case you all had said something, I missed it.
No, I think it's coming up later this month.
Okay, well, yeah, I just want to check in on that. I continue to pray for everyone. I hear everybody's story. Sometimes it is a real hard struggle, but that's where the faith comes in. You really got like that man when he did that service from South Africa. I loved what he said. You cannot let the bully have the last word, okay?
There you are. Yeah.
I like the way he put it. Don't let the bully.
Yeah.
You don't know when he's going to pop up. Okay, I had a couple more things, too. As I told you, I was going to save them. But I got company coming. I got some stuff to do. Oh, these new TVs.
Yeah.
Is there anywhere, are there knobs anywhere to cut them off or turn them down or volume?
Well, it depends what you get. But some of them have volume controls, not necessarily knobs. Usually at this point, they're more like buttons. But, you can get things with volume control. Of course, they all have a remote control, which I hate because most of the functions are on the remote control. And don't you know, everybody loses the remote control. So that's always a problem.
That's the thing, Susan Bell. When that other TV went down that we paid for at Best Buy, somebody had bought me a TV from Best Buy. That TV just died. So Sister Mary Helen went into the vault at the mother house. So when the sisters died, they put their stuff, you know, they keep all their stuff. So she sent me a TV.
Ah.
And one day, remember I told you this TV just went out one day?
Yeah.
It just went out. Riley, that's why I saved it, because it was a little drama. And then one day, you know, there was a power surge, and the TV just popped back on.
Okay.
It just popped
Here's,
back on
yeah,
now.
Right, exactly. So obviously the TV works, you just don't know how to work it, which I understand. So what I want to know,
the remote control went out.
Yeah, right.
I put new batteries in it.
Yeah.
Now I'm stuck. I'm with the same TV moving on the same station.
No, this
can't
is... All right, so what I want you to do for the next time you call is I want to know the make and the model of it, the model number and the manufacturer.
Okay.
Because what I'm going to do is print the manual. We'll get it.
Oh, okay.
One way or another, we'll get it.
Because I'm sitting up here trying to listen to you, and this TV is just going 24/7. But I'm afraid. First of all, the plug is way back. You know what I'm saying?
Afraid to
and
turn it
I'm
off.
Afraid,
yeah.
I'm afraid to.
Yeah, right. Because if you turn it off, it'll never turn on again. No, I understand.
Exactly. Right. Okay. Now you said the make and the model, right?
Yeah. Like if it's a Samsung,
I'm writing it down.
Yeah. Okay. Whoever the manufacturer and the model.
LG mess.
Okay. Well, it could be LG.
Okay.
That's fine.
I have another technical question. Have you ever heard of mice or rats eating sensor wires on people's cars?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Rodents are famous for this kind of stuff. I remember once went away for a while and a damn rodent ate just about all of my electrical wiring in my Z28. Yes, they love it.
Oh, wow.
Now, the best thing to do if you're going to be away from the car for a while is lift the hood up and put, you know, put a like a can of oil or something there to keep it up a little bit. They don't tend to do it when the hood is lifted. But if that hood is closed and you go away for a while, it's a banquet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the one who had to put in a whole new motor.
Yeah.
The car didn't stop the day before yesterday. She took it in. They said that's what it was.
Yeah, rodents ate the wiring. Sure, that happened on one of our Jeeps, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's not out of norm.
No, that's really normal. But tell her, you know, from now on, if she's going to park the car, put a can of oil or something to have that hood lifted somewhat.
Wow. And that's the only thing she can do. Because, I mean, it's just a regular...
That's the only thing. Yeah, right. But they love it. They nest in it. They absolutely nest in it. I'm pretty sure in my Z28, the damn thing gave birth.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the antidote. When I've used something to keep the hood up about 6-8 inches, never had another problem.
Okay. Now, I've got another question. Have you heard of any scams from AT&T? My friend who has the restaurant, they sent her checks. She paid her bill. Everything was fine. It's been going on forever. Mm-hmm. And next thing she knows, they won't turn her business phone on.
They won't. All right.
They're telling her, they sent her a text, told her,
right, no.
We got to do construction.
No.
$3,000.
Yeah, no. No, firstly, any text you get, consider it to be a scam. You don't reply to text.
Right.
If you have any question at all, get out your bill. There's a customer service number on it. Call that number. Don't do anything with the text or the phone or anything like that. You generate the phone number. But no, it's not AT&T. It's all the people who realize, well, AT&T has millions of subscribers, so send it out to everybody. People who aren't AT&T customers will just not respond. It's like one of the ones we get all the time. In fact, John got it earlier today, was Comcast. And I laughed because Comcast isn't even in the state of Arizona. But, you know, you've just lost your discount. I said, don't worry about it, sweetie. You didn't lose anything. Anytime you see any text or get any voicemail that wants you to react, never react. Whatever it is, go get your last bill.
And I told her that.
Yeah, go get your last bill and call the company directly.
And meanwhile, she's going without a phone. We can't do deliveries.
Well, wait a minute.
Can't call.
But did she lose her phone?
No, it's the boxes there and everything. She didn't lose nothing.
No, but I mean,
and she paid the bill.
What I'm saying is the phone disconnected?
No, and then they start sending these texts.
So it don't no if
they start sending the text to her about $3,000.
Yeah, the phone is the phone working?
No.
Okay. So now, was it?
And when I call
wait a minute.
The phone number, they talk about it has a new number.
Right. No. Was the phone working before?
Yes. Then all of a sudden, it didn't work.
All right. So what she does is she gets her last bill and she calls the customer service number on it. You don't react to texts. You don't react to emails. You don't react to phone calls. But if she doesn't have service, she needs to call them and find out why.
And she's been trying to do that, and then all of a sudden he spams. So there must be some interference.
Well,
somewhere.
No, here's the deal. If she ever makes the mistake of using a number in any of those texts or any of those emails or any of those messages, that's why I keep saying you cannot call back any of that ever. What you do, get your last bill. And on bill, call that number. You don't ever call a number that's left for you on a text, an email, or a voicemail. Ever.
And I've been too tired to really follow through and help her with that lately. I've been doing other things.
Understood.
But, yeah, okay.
That's what she needs. She needs to get a copy of her bill, and printed on there is the phone number. That's the only phone number
and
she should call.
That's why I couldn't understand. There had to be some kind of interception somewhere.
Well,
the response she got back when she called customer service.
Well,
I'll follow up on that.
She probably didn't call customer service. She probably called the number that was on the text.
Well, knowing the phone went out originally.
Yeah, well.
I'll let you know what happens on that. But, yeah. hey, Jim and Richmond, hang in there, baby.
All right.
God loves you, so do I.
Good deal. Okay. All right. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it. All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Oh,
good deal. That's where we'll pick it up. We've got James, we've got Sherry, we've got Room for You on WGN Radio. The Hollywood Flames, yes, I know, 1954 on Swing Time. What a good record. And they were also known as the Turks and the Jets and the Satellites. And Bobby Day was in it and Earl Nelson was in it. And yeah, Bob and Earl, you betcha. The Pelicans. And it was a Watts group. They had one hit, Buzz, Buzz, Buzz in 1957. But they had so many other wonderful things. They formed in 49 and they were mostly just doing South Central stuff. And Bobby Day was Bobby Bird was there and several others as well over the years. And their first paying gig was for Johnny Otis at the Barrel House Club. And they first recorded in 1950 for Selective. And the following year, they were billed the Hollywood Four Flames. And they actually released a song, Tabarin, which was, as it turned out, written by the Beach Boys' father. Yeah, Murray. Good old Murray. In any event, they recorded, someone had told me they recorded for 19 labels. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. Aladdin and Specialty. And, you know, no real big hits other than maybe Buzz, Buzz, Buzz. But everybody was in that group. Jesse Belvin and Gaynell Hodge and whoever was walking by, basically. But by 54, they were usually the Hollywood Flames when they weren't the Turks or the Jets or the Sounds. And it goes on and on from there. But yeah, good stuff. And of course, like I say, Bobby Day, I thought that Bob and Earl record on Class was just the absolute best as far as that goes. And of course, they're much better known for things like Little Bitty Pretty One that was covered and more successfully by Thurston Harris as far as that goes. But yeah, good stuff. And then they wound up on ATCO after a while. Earl Nelson was the lead singer on that. And they were at the Apollo, and a big show there, actually, and all of that. And they recorded for a few more years, fluctuating lineup. Yeah, like I say, whoever was walking by the studio, it was pretty close. And that was it. But no big hits as far as that goes. So I guess just Buzz, Buzz, Buzz. But I thought I Know was actually a better record. But maybe it's just me. All right, so that was Sergeant Pappy. And we'll also, and we thank Laura for telling us what I wrote. And we'll also get his Spaniels request, too, which was the flip side of Stormy Weather. So, 888-876-5593. Bill is in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Bill.
Hey, Riley. The lady is talking to before you had to take your 15-minute break. pay all your bills. Yeah. Anyways.
By the way, that's totally my fault and not WGN's. You see, I'm supposed to take them at several times during the hour.
Yeah, I know.
And I just don't, you know,
I know.
And eventually...
Well, you get talking.
Right,
you
and
get
they, talking, right, yeah. Exactly. And eventually they cut me off and play the commercials, which is what they should do. So,
right. Well, anyways, if Toby is still... Tubby, I guess it is, still listening. If her friend... If they can't find the number,
don't. I have a reason for my there's method to my madness. I know you could give me the number, or I could give them the number, but I want people to get used to finding their bill
and seeing it in
writing, because it's too easy otherwise.
Another thing, you don't answer any of those
ever.
Text messages
or
any emails like that. You call the company direct. And also another tip that I worked with some people that told me that when you get a phone call, let's say I call you and I say, is this Raleigh James? Okay. You never say yes. You always say speaking or write.
Right, they want the word yes so they can sign you up for all sorts of services because they use your voice.
Right.
But
so
they don't even need it anymore. You see, that's the problem with AI. If you answer the phone and talk at all, they can get you to say yes. You don't have to actually say it. They can morph it.
Oh yeah, I know they can, but you just first start out with you never say yes when they say this so-and-so.
Of course
not.
I say, do not answer a number you don't recognize. If it turns out to be a friend, they'll leave a message and you can call them back. Do not ever pick up the phone when you see and do not answer private numbers. Just don't.
Right.
You know, there's no need to do that. You know, I go as far as, I don't even answer the door. You know, it's like earlier today, John said, I think there's someone at the door. I said, are you expecting anybody? He said, no. I said, then we're not answering the door.
I do the same thing.
Right, they'll come back if they have a warrant.
They'll be back.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, no.
And if it's a friend, they'll call you and say,
well,
hey, I'm at the
that's
door.
Right. And if it's a big warrant, well, I won't have to answer the door because they'll just be in. So, I don't worry about it. But no, I don't answer doors. I don't answer phones. I mean, not anymore. It's just too dangerous.
It's not safe anymore.
No, it's not, sadly.
Yeah. You got to watch all that stuff. Because,
yeah.
You know, especially the text messages and emails.
Oh, God. Because
I got a text message on my phone the other day that from the motor vehicle department.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and I got one that said that my license expired. I don't renew it soon.
Right. Well,
they'll tow my car, do something, and I don't even drive. So.
Well, right. That's why I was laughing. I mean, hell, if they can get you a driver's license, I want to see that bad boy. Our favorite here is we get the ones, and so does everybody else here, about how your unpaid toll bills.
Oh, we get those because you get those wherever the state has toll roads.
Yes,
I get that all the time. Right?
You see, Arizona has no toll roads, not a one.
Oh, that's right. You guys don't, right?
Right. And the states, the attorney general and all that, they actually put up PSAs to the public saying Arizona has no toll roads. If you hear that you would think that they could at least get it right for people who might be eligible for a toll problem. But no.
If they pick the states and has toll roads.
It's just like all these things about Comcast. You've lost your discount. That's all right. Comcast doesn't serve the state. Nobody's too worried.
Right. I know. All right, well, as you go, so you can get back to your other callers.
I'm glad you called, absolutely. And I hope that Tubby's friend will start looking at those bills.
Well, yeah, right, because that can be a scam.
It really can.
AT&T won't send you a thing saying that your bill is behind.
No, you're not going to get a text from them. It's sort of like people who get things from Medicare and Social Security. You'll be dead before you actually get a text from Medicare. Don't worry about
it. That's right. They'll call you or send you a letter.
Yeah.
That's the only way they do it.
Yeah.
There's no text messages from those.
No, for the most part, if you get a call, well, that's your lucky day. You know, usually you're on hold 4 hours trying to call them.
I know.
Exactly.
If you want to check with them on anything, right?
Yeah.
But I thought I'd just let her know that she can look up the But yes. Yeah, they call the number. They'll straighten it out.
Exactly. All right, Bill.
If it was a scam, if she complains to the phone company that and she lost any money, they may get the money back for her.
Yeah, and I am concerned because I don't know why the woman lost service. Something tells me on some level she responded to something at some point she shouldn't have.
But that's my concern.
Yeah, but she needs to get a hold of the right people quickly.
Right, get a hold of AT&T.
Yeah, exactly. Man, oh man.
Yeah, sorry to hear about Fran. I didn't know she was...
Well, like I say, I'm really, I know it's terrible to say, but I'm really encouraged because Fran, for the last more than 6 months, has been going to doctors saying, these are my symptoms, I have a problem, and they're just doing the, you know, they're there, little girl, you know.
Yeah, I know. I've heard her.
Well, right, and you know what that's like.
Well, I always I'm no one real famous where I do my all my doctoring. At the big place here in Chicago on the north side. But anyways, I won't mention the name of the hospital. It's one of the number one.
Yeah.
And I'm famous for when I go in to see a doctor, the first thing I tell the doctor, if it's a new doctor, I always tell him this, Dr. So-and-so, look, you work for me. I don't work for you. I didn't hire you to treat me. I didn't hire you. You work for me because I'm paying the bill. I'm paying the insurance. So you're working for me. I'm not working for you. And I'm known for that at the hospital. I'm known as the work for you.
You know, that's great. You know, if it works, it's just great. But like I say, poor Fran for the longest time has been getting absolutely no respect. And now at least they're seeing there really is a problem here. And hopefully that will, because it's tough. You're also, as you well know, it's so easy to be discounted because you're blind, which is crazy.
Oh, yeah, right.
But this happens all the time. I have a friend who, I was talking to him recently, and he said, well, you know, the one thing I won't do is bring a sighted person with me because then the doctor will only talk to them. And I said,
I know exactly.
I know
that works, right?
That, and then, of course, you know, Fran, on top of that, she's female, you know, and she's not young. So, I mean, she's got the trifecta from hell. They just don't pay attention. Mm-hmm. So here's hoping now that they see there is a problem, that some of this other stuff will unravel. I have a feeling whatever's going on with the circulation in her leg probably is the reason for her pain and might be the reason for the toe issue. But at the very least, they'll look at it.
Right, because they'll look at everything before they let you go. Right?
Yes.
But no, I just say, look, you work for me, I don't work for you.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. They don't like to think that, but it is true.
I know.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Thanks. Good to talk to you.
Okay.
All right. So, 888-876-5593, 88-88-Raleigh. And we will have Sherry in Naperville and James on the south side. And room for you too. And Sergeant Pappy's other requests coming up next on WGN Radio.
Here is why I love you.
It may sound funny, but I love you. It may seem silly, but I need you. I do. At the sound of your voice, I remember you enchant me so. For you are so hypnotizing. Oh, and these words can't explain how I feel, for I will love you for it's so wonderful to love you. It's so marvelous to meet you.
Pure Nirvana. The Spanels, Here Is Why I Love You on VJ. And that was The Flip of Stormy Weather, 1958. And that was the third of Sergeant Pappy's requests. And a wonderful choice it was. What a great song. All right. So let's see. And I'm not sure what made me think of it, but I'm in the mood for a Bubber Johnson song. So I might have to play one of those. But I got some requests from you guys first. And also, the strangest thing about this Connie Francis record. Yeah. My morning man on my FM in Globe, the country station, said to me, "Did you know that there is a Connie Francis record that has become a big hit?" And I had heard that, like, Vacation was, you know, big on TikTok. I said, "Don't tell me it's Vacation." "No, it's not. It's Pretty Little Baby." I said, "That never was released in a single in America." And it was on a 1962 album. He said, "Well, it's just huge." So maybe we'll hear some of that. But I've got it as an extra on KJ. And anytime I hear it, I think to myself, Bob from Memphis, who's no longer with us, he just would have loved that record and never did play it for him. So don't even know if he was aware of it. But Bob, wherever you are now in the great beyond, we'll play Connie just for you. All right. So we're going to get some requests from James, except I haven't played your last request, James. I believe that you were wonderful, don't get around much anymore, Luther Vandross and James Blunt Monster. Would that be correct?
Yes.
Yes. Well, I'll get to them. You want to add to that?
Yes. Oh, God, I want to add the Pink Panther theme by Henry Mancini.
Okay. All right.
And let's see. And I will... add a Frank Sinatra, although I'm trying to think which one. Okay, I should say, Let's Fall in Love.
Okay, well, it's your request. Okay.
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 That one.
All right.
And that's it. Okay.
All right.
Also, I did have one story you might want to look up. Okay.
All right. And that would be.
Okay. There was about. Let me bring it back up here because it gets hard to get away. About, it's like a fake nursing degree scam that has basically has a bunch of states going back and looking at their recent nurses who took their exams and to see if they were it was from a certain Florida school that got closed.
Yeah, the fraudulent nursing diploma scheme. But this is actually a story, if it's the one I'm thinking about in Palm Beach. This was last year.
Okay, maybe it is, but it didn't really say too much about.
The only thing I remember about this was there was a school in Palm Beach. I think it was Lake Worth, but it was Palm Beach County. And this was like December of 2023, where the owner and all that, they wound up convicted federally. They were found guilty of wire fraud and conspiracy to commit, and they were charged along with 11 co-defendants. What they were doing was selling fraudulent diplomas and transcripts from two private schools in Palm Beach, Florida. Well, that's honey, that's almost 3 years old now.
Okay.
Let's have something a little more recent. All right.
Okay,
talk to you later.
The other one, okay, maybe it's a little more recent, has to do with some tech queen who basically was extorting a whole bunch of a fake money scheme.
All right. Well, I'm gonna check the news out right now. But I think are you talking about that? I think it's a Nigerian story, rested in the U.S. but Nigerian. And again, that's 2024. But okay, I'll talk to you soon. Thanks, and let's check out the news right here on WGN Radio.
Pretty little baby. Baby, you say that maybe you'll be thinking of me and try to love me
little baby, I'm hoping that you do. You can ask the flowers, I sit for hours telling all the bluebirds, the bill and coo birds, pretty little baby, I'm so in love with you. Now is just the time when both of us are young. Puppy love must have its day. Don't you know it's much more fun to love while the heart is young and gay? Meet me at the car hop or at the pop shop. Meet me in the moonlight or in the daylight. Pretty little baby, I'm so in love with you.
WGN Radio, I'm Robert James. So yes, Pretty Little Baby surprised me too to hear. Maybe surprising I didn't even know that song, but the deal was Norrell Wilson, who I worked with in Nashville, he wrote a lot with Billy Sherrill. He produced it, actually. And a couple unknown writers. One was Don Sterling, which was not his name. It was some Italian name that I don't remember. And the other was Bill Nauman, who I think that might have been the Norrell Wilson connection. But in any event, they wrote it, and it was not released in America. It was recorded in 61, and they put it on an album, Connie Francis Sings, in 1962. But there were a number of foreign releases in foreign languages, no less. And it was a flip side there, a B-side to something else. But in the States, it was absolutely nothing. The session was in August of 61. And Connie Francis Sings, Secondhand Love, I think was the subtitle of that album. But in any event, it usually showed up as the B-side to I'm Gonna Be Warm This Winter. But suddenly, for whatever reason, it's showing up on just viral on various social media platforms. In fact, there's a lot of interesting interviews where she finds out that she's big on TikTok, and of course she has no idea what that is, which you'd expect. But the interesting thing is that Connie had to sing this in multiple languages, all right, because MGM was hoping that there'd be a hit outside the United States. So you can hear her doing it in German, French, Italian, Swedish, you name it, and Japanese, I think. And I don't think it was a hit anywhere as far as that goes. But it certainly now, for whatever reason, a hit on TikTok. And I was encouraged only because it's much better than Vacation, which was the last one. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh, if you want the waning moments, you can have them. And Sherry in Naperville's been waiting patiently. So Sherry, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
All right, what's going on?
Well, I was touched by Fran's story.
Yeah.
And I'm wishing her well. But, you mentioned a couple of things, but also I remember one of my three grandfathers. Big clue. And he's on the German side, so I don't know if that has anything to do with things, but he had diverticulitis.
Sure.
And the way it was explained to me was that it was like your intestines become like a garden hose.
Well, not exactly, but but yeah, diverticulitis.
It's hard as.
Well, it's interesting. It's a little pouch that, anyway, the deal is that's more and more common these days, but pouches form in the colon, that's the diverticula, and then they become inflamed and they can be infected, and that's what gives you the pain and the fever and the changes in your bathroom habits.
And he also ended up, he always had high blood pressure. He was like 6'7" or so, and he also had, I don't want to say diabetes, but he also had a sugar thing where my grandmother, who baked for me when I went to Girl Scout camp, a whole tin for everybody of snickerdoodles, which I love. But she had to learn to bake cookies that had no sugar in them.
Okay.
So I don't, because I'm assuming he had a high sugar level as
okay.
well. So I don't know if that adds into that.
I don't think so, based on what Fran's symptoms are. I mean, obviously she has a higher sugar. She's got diabetes. But the diverticulitis is absolutely different from the constipation in many, many ways.
Oh, okay. Well, just because that was explained to me about the hardened goat garden.
Well, the big thing is, like I say, the little pouches that get inflamed, and that's the big thing with that.
Okay, because I had the opposite problem.
Right, well, actually, the opposite problem is much the same if you're talking about diarrhea versus constipation. They're two sides of the exact same coin.
Really? How so?
Well, that in terms of the cause, the same cause can give you both results.
Because I was diagnosed with spastic colon.
Uh-huh.
And then, which now is the same thing they decided is irritable bowel system.
Well, yeah, and with IBS, constipation and diarrhea absolutely are two components that go together. And
well, that's rare for me, the constipation.
Right, well, everybody's different. But the point is that it'll manifest one of two ways, or in some cases, both. And that's part and parcel of IBS.
But I have always noticed that if I have, like, strawberries with the little seeds or broccoli and a lot of broccoli in dinner, that helps me in the morning along with a cup of coffee.
All right.
And I had a very intelligent, I've mentioned this before, at Russ St. Luke's doctor, Dr. Michael Ramsey, and he had said, well, cigarettes are also a natural, when you want to go, what is that stuff called? Because I never had to take Metamucil or anything.
Right, exactly.
But I never knew that, and then I started wondering after that, is that why servicemen were always given packs of cigarettes and Coca-Cola?
I would doubt it.
Oh, okay. So that, because I can't get moving in the morning like she probably couldn't to get to her appointment until I, you know, do the crossword puzzle is what I call it. But because I feel uncomfortable in the morning.
Okay.
So if I get all that done, it's, you know, I'm fine.
All right.
Sorry, it's weird, but I...
That's perfectly fine. You sound like you're doing just fine. But did you have requests or what?
Oh, no, I don't.
Okay.
I just wanted to impart that thing because you didn't mention it.
Oh, IBS? Yeah, because I don't...
Diverticulitis.
Oh, diverticulitis. No, I don't think for a minute. She doesn't seem to have any of the diverticulitis symptoms.
Okay, but I was interested that you're so knowledgeable at so many topics.
I've been sick a long time.
And I also wanted to mention, I love when Tubby calls.
Yeah, me too.
And I also love when Linda calls.
Yes, from Richland Park, of course.
And then was it Laura that called?
Yes,
about,
to tell me about the Hollywood Flames? Yes.
No. Well, no. The maybe it was Laura who called about she loves watching Miss Fisher Mysteries.
Oh no. That's our lovely, why can't I think of her name right now? It'll come to me in a moment. Cindy. That's Cindy in Chicago.
I also love that Miss Fisher Mysteries. And I like it because of the costumes and the era and the this, that, but that was like Scott Fitzgerald, and I can't remember what we had to read in the movie that F. Scott Fitzgerald and Daisy was anyway, but you know, it's also enamoring, but that was also Modern Millie movie, and there was Flappers, and cocaine was really big back then. It wasn't a good, great era.
Mm. Well, it's Australian. And I guess it was first broadcast in 2012, so it's been around a while. And I guess
but
as it's
PBS fans. And PTW doesn't get it for a while.
Well, so
anyway,
so that's the deal. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, I thank you so much.
Okay,
Molly.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye. Hearing.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So yes, I don't do as well with foreign shows. Yeah, things with an accent. John laughs at me. You know, if it's British, forget about it. I get every 10th word, maybe. All right, we'll get to David and Muskegon. There's room for you two. There's one more bumper coming up. I haven't decided, but it'll be one of your requests, I promise, on WGN Radio. James, and that, of course, is Clifford Curry, and it was Matt Gayton's song. He wrote it with Chuck Neese, and of course, that was a wonderful production, and yeah, so wonderful. Why am I blanking his name right now? It'll come to me in a moment, but it was, one of my favorites, too. Oh, that's terrible, but it will come to me. They recorded it as Cinderella Sound. I remember that. Buzz Kaysen produced it. That's what I'm trying to think of. Buzz Kaysen. And everybody covered it. The flip side was great, too. It was a ballad, We're Gonna Hate Ourselves in the Morning. Arthur Alexander wrote that. But as far as She Shot a Hole in My Soul, I mean, it just begs for people to do it. And Gina Washington did it, and the Box Tops did, John Fred and his Playboy Band, and Huey Lewis in the News, and all that. When it first came out in 67, there was a Virginia artist who did a cover, Bob Marshall and the Crystals, which was somewhat of a beach music hit, but not nearly as much as Clifford Curry and She Shot a Hole in My Soul on Elf. And sadly, Clifford's no longer with us, died in 2016, and we miss him. All right, so 888-876-5593. Naoto is in Japan. What's up, Naoto?
Yeah, what's up? I just changed my phone plan.
Yeah.
The main change is that I don't have to pay extra fees for these kind of international calls.
Uh-huh.
So this allowed me to call WGN more frequently.
Well, great.
So it's pretty great news.
So is that unlimited worldwide long distance?
Yeah, I guess so.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. What do they charge you a month for that?
I think it's around $15.
That's great. That's a wonderful service.
So,
is it unlimited is it unlimited texting too? And what about data?
I'm talking about only like international call option.
Okay.
So the option is $15, but total amount is around I would say $40.
That's still good. That's great.
Yeah. So
well, good.
So
we're delighted that you're not losing a fortune calling us.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm so glad to hear from you. And, of course, I know we'll talk to you next Monday night, but call any time.
Yeah, thank you so much. Okay. I might share more of my personal stories and, everyday stuff. And,
okay, good.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Yep.
All right. So, how nice. What a good deal. Better deal than we stateside phone users are getting, that's for sure. But it still is amazing to me because, of course, when I think about what it used to cost for long distance, you know, it was usually $5 for the first 3 minutes and $1 every minute thereafter or whatever. And every month when I get the phone bill, I knew I was in trouble when it came in an 8.5 by 11 envelope, you know, when it couldn't fit in the usual 5 by 8, when it was the big envelope, I knew, oh, I'm screwed now. And rent was a minor expense compared to the phone bill. And of course, you know, that gave rise to us finding ways to defeat the phone company. But I think back on this now, and it's absolutely free. Yeah, I'd have been rich if I'd saved all that money. I mean, truly rich. And now, of course, so few people like to talk. Almost all the plans include unlimited talk and text very often. But yeah, that's because they charge a little more for the data as far as that goes. But people, for the most part, don't want to talk on the phone. I was addicted to it. All right, David in Muskegon, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Roy, I was just listening to you here, and I was listening to you talk about Sly and the Family Stone, there's Sylvester Stewart, and Funkadelic. And what was his relationship? Did they do an album together or what?
Yeah, they worked on some projects together, as far as that. What's his name? George Clinton.
What projects did they work on together? Could you tell me?
Well, I'm trying to think of what it was. I know that they had collaborated on some stuff, but in the P-Funk days. But I absolutely don't know, because by then I was not interested.
Yeah, that must have been after Eddie Hazel left Funkadelic.
Don't know. Well, and I don't know that it was. I'm pretty sure that it was never formalized. I think there was just so much mutual respect.
Okay, did they release any music?
Not that I know of, but might have.
Okay, that's what I was wondering about, if they'd released any music, if there is an album that features Sly Stone along with Funkadelic.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what. On the Funkadelic album, The Electric Spanking of War Babies, and,
yes.
There's collaboration on that. And that's a Funkadelic album, and Sly Stone is on it.
The Electric Spanking of War Babies,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, that, and there was a Sly and the Family Stone album that George Clinton was on in 82, Ain't But One Way.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's that. And that was pretty much it. After that, Sly kind of went into seclusion. But yeah, Ain't But the One Way, 1982.
I remember that song.
Well, that started out as a collaboration project between Sly and George. And
yes.
I think that it was actually completed by a third party. I think it was Stuart Levine, because Sly had gone into seclusion. So I don't know if you'd count that, but it started out as a collaborative project. And then there was a single, and this is much more recent that it was released, so I don't know when it was. I think it was the first thing they released since The Electric Spanking, but I don't know when it was recorded, and that was The Nazz in 2013. And if you look at it says Funkadelic featuring Sly Stone.
Okay, I'm going to look up the album, The Electric Spanking of War Babies.
Yeah, look at that. It's a Funkadelic album that Sly is on.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up, see if it's on Amazon Music. Yes, so I'm going to download it.
Well, you do whatever you want. But like I say, Ain't But the One Way started out. That's why I was hesitating when you first asked, because this was the group together that I was thinking of, the collaboration. But I'm pretty sure that they didn't finish it. I think that I'm not sure what was the fallout on that, but Sly Stone wound up going into seclusion and couldn't be found. So I don't think that Ain't But the One Way is probably what you're after.
Okay, The Electric Spanking of War Babies,
yeah,
would probably be...
That probably is the only one.
Now, who's on lead guitar on that? Do you know?
Oh, who the hell knows? No, I don't.
Okay, because I remember Eddie Hazel, if I remember correctly, left the band in 76.
Okay.
He played on their first 5 albums.
All right.
And then when...
This was done in 1980 at the earliest, and probably 1981 at the latest. Or,
oh, what was it? The Electric Spanking Award, baby.
Yes.
80 or 81.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, that was then, and it was released as a funkadelic album that featured Sly Stone. And he sung lead on a couple of songs. I think Funk Gets Stronger was one of them. But this was a deal where George Clinton wanted a double album, and Warner Brothers said, no, you're not going to get a double album. That was that argument and all that. But so but you will see. And Eddie is on that album. Eddie Hazel is on that album.
Oh, he is?
He is on that album.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I got his...
It was the last album he was on for them.
Okay, The Electric Spanking of War Babies.
Yes, yes. And it's the only album where Roger Troutman is on it as well. So it's,
oh, my!
Yeah, and...
I'm going to have to
Sly,
really give this
Sly does a number of instruments and also some of the production work. So, yeah, that's the album, and that's the only one I know. If there's more than that, I don't know it, and you have ended the show.
Okay, Raleigh.
Talk to you later. All right.
Yes.
So, good deal. And on that note, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. And I'm so sorry I didn't get to you. In fact, Tubby just called back. All right, so call me back tomorrow night, Tubby. We'll do it at 10 p.m., 21 hours from now. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.